Hello, political learners. Welcome to the Weekly Paul Show. My name is Tobias Sika. I'm a fourth-year Bishop's graduating student doing a double major in political science and German as a foreign language, and I will be your host for this show. After the explosive revelations made by Commissioner Michael Duhem, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police's top officer, on October 14th, concerning the involvement of Indian diplomats in criminal activities on Canadian soil, Indian-Canadian relations hit new rock bottom since both countries' independence from the UK. What did Commissioner Duhem disclose? What led India and Canada to follow diplomatically? And what should be done to mend and improve the situation? All of this and much more in this week's episode of the Weekly Paul Show. The recent diplomatic clash between both countries is a saga that originated with the killing of Hardeep Singh Nijjar on June 18, 2023. Nijjar, a Sikh activist, has been planning an unofficial referendum in India for an independent Sikh state or Khalistan. This political activism made him wanted by Indian authorities and had him designated a terrorist in July 2020 for alleged Khalistani-related violence. Nijjar, who was born in India but had become a Canadian citizen, was shot dead outside a Sikh temple in Surrey, British Columbia. In late July, early August, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau asserted that he was briefed on intelligence from Canada and possibly Five Eyes allies that made it credibly clear that India was involved in Nijjar's killing. According to Trudeau, Canada first reached out to the Indian officials in August to inform them of the findings and to try to work together in a responsible way that doesn't come and blow up the relationship. India, however, rejected the allegations, saying that Canada had a political compulsion to blame it. On September 9 and 10, 2023, the G20 conference held in New Delhi further highlighted tensions between the two countries. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi held bilateral meetings with many world leaders but snubbed Trudeau. A few days later, on September 19, 2023, Trudeau took the unusual step of publicly stating in the House of Commons that security agencies had credible information linking Indian government agents to the murder of Nijjar, while simultaneously expelling an Indian diplomat. India vehemently rejected the allegations as absurd and retaliated by expelling a Canadian diplomat, accusing Canada of harboring terrorists and anti-Indian elements who were a threat to the Indian state. Yet New Delhi's reprisals did not end there. On October 19, 2023, Canada was forced to recall 41 of its 62 diplomats in India after the Indian government said it would revoke their diplomatic immunity and security protection for their relatives. India's Foreign Affairs Ministry insisted that the much higher number of Canadian diplomats in India and their continued interference in the country's internal affairs warrant a parity in mutual diplomatic presence in New Delhi and Ottawa. Reversely, Canadian Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly decried India's threat to revoke diplomatic immunity as a violation of international law. In May of 2024, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, RCMP, arrested and charged four Indian men with the ongoing investigation into Nijjar's killing. You are hearing the Weekly Paul Show with Tobias Sika. And this week's episode is on Canada's diplomatic crisis with India. On Monday, October 14, 2024, RCMP Commissioner Mike Duhem publicly alleged that agents of the government of India have played a role in widespread acts of violence in Canada, including homicides. In an unusual press conference during Canadian Thanksgiving, Duhem alleged that Indian diplomats and consular officials in Canada have been involved in a criminal network against residents in Canada, mostly of Indian Sikh origins. These Indian diplomats and consular staff in Canada have been extorting, threatening, and coercing people for information, and have been gathering intelligence on individuals suspected of being involved with the Khalistan movement, says Duhem. For context, Sikh separatism, rooted in a bloody insurgency in India during the 80s and early 90s, called for the creation of an independent Sikh homeland, referred to as Khalistan, which would carve in part of India and Pakistan, where the region's majority Sikh population can be found. This movement is banned in India, which considers it a terrorist threat, and its most vocal advocates are primarily among the Punjabi overseas diaspora. There are some 770,000 Sikhs living in Canada, home to the world's largest Sikh diaspora community, representing roughly 2% of the Canadian population. Furthermore, Sikhs exert considerable influence in Canadian politics, occupying 15 seats in the House of Commons, proportionally double their population weight in the country. Canada has faced sharp criticism from Delhi for failing to oppose the pro-Khalistan movement within its borders. The Nordic country, says India, is aware of local Khalistani groups and has been monitoring them for years, without taking what India views as appropriate measures against Sikh separatism, such as coercion and prosecution. The same Monday, Commissioner Duhem held his exceptional press conference, Trudeau doubled down on the accusations, stating that Canada now had clear and compelling evidence that agents of the Government of India have engaged in and continue to engage in activities that pose a significant threat to public safety. The Canadian Prime Minister added that India had made a monumental mistake in choosing to use their diplomats and organized crime to attack Canadians. In fact, Canadian officials gravely asserted that India's diplomatic corps, leading all the way up to Sanjay Kumar Verma, India's top diplomat and high commissioner in Canada, had direct ties with a criminal network run by India's most notorious mob boss, Lawrence Bishnoi, to carry out targeted attacks and killings. Verma was moreover directly involved with the murdering of Canadian Sikh separatist leader Hardeep Singh Nijjar. In reaction to this unprecedented evidence, Canada expelled 6 Indian diplomats, including India's High Commissioner to Canada, who it claimed had been involved in threatening behavior. In a statement the same day, the Indian government rejected the accusations as preposterous imputations and accused the Trudeau government of a political agenda. Contrary to claims by the Canadian police and Trudeau, New Delhi has maintained that Ottawa has not shared any credible evidence to back up its claims of an Indian link to the murder. India had also repeatedly accused Trudeau of being sympathetic to Khalistani separatists, as his party enjoys substantial backing from the country's sizable Sikh community. But why weren't Mr. Verma and the 5 other Indian diplomats arrested and prosecuted for their alleged criminal undertaking? Because of the 1961 Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations, which all United Nations member states, Canada included, with the exception of Palau and South Sudan, are members of. This Convention on Diplomatic Relations grants all diplomats in the host country legal immunity, protecting all the personal and professional activities a diplomat does from legal prosecution. Hence, no action or event can sanction a diplomat's arrest or detention, from a low-level offense like speeding to serious crimes like human trafficking. However, serious crimes like the ones stated by Canadian authorities on October 14th are rather rare, and when they occur, states have a few options for dealing with misbehaving diplomats. The first option is to negotiate with the diplomat's country of origin, since it holds the authority to waive its diplomat's immunity. If the sending country refuses to waive diplomatic immunity for their misbehaving envoys, the hosting state can declare specific diplomats persona non grata, which basically means the targeted diplomats become undesirable person in the hosting state and are given a short time, usually between 72 hours, to leave the country. Once this time is up, the targeted diplomats lose any diplomatic status and their immunity ends. The state's ability to banish a foreign diplomat, together with severing diplomatic relations, constitutes the cornerstone of the enforcement mechanism of diplomatic law. While this can force undesirable diplomats out of the country, it isn't very effective in actually bringing criminal diplomats to justice, and it's also common that the state withdrawing its diplomats responds back by declaring the host state diplomats persona non grata from its own territory. This expulsion reciprocity is known as tit-for-tat exchange, and is exactly the move that India chose to take when the country in turn expelled 6 Canadian diplomats, including the acting High Commissioner in New Delhi. You are hearing the Weekly Paul Show with Tobias Sika, and this week's episode is on Canada's diplomatic crisis with India. Canada's relations with India have never been warm-hearted, and were judged cordial at best by most political analysts. And Justin Trudeau's almost decade-long government rule has not dissipated anxieties in New Delhi about the seriousness of what it considers terroristic extremism from overseas vocal Khalistan supporters. In the eyes of Indian officials, Ottawa has become too lenient and even implicitly condones the Sikh sovereignist movement. A noticeable example includes the official visit of Justin Trudeau to India in February 2018, intended to smooth diplomatic and trade relations with India after brewing tensions over the Khalistan movement. Nevertheless, the trip was marred in controversy when Jaspal Singh Atwal, a Canadian Indian considered by Canada's Public Safety Ministry as a Sikh separatist member of a terrorist organization, was invited to a formal dinner hosted by the Canadian Prime Minister, and was photographed alongside the Canadian Prime Minister's then-wife, Sophie Trudeau. Another example points to December 2020. When Trudeau expressed concerns on Indian police's use of tear gas and water cannons to disperse hundreds of thousands of farmers in India who marched to New Delhi to protest new agricultural laws. The federal Liberal leader made his remarks while attending an online event to mark the 551st birth anniversary of Guru Nanak, the founder of Sikhism. Trudeau furthermore added that his country would always be there to defend the rights of peaceful protest. In response, India accused the Canadian government of making ill-informed comments with anti-Indian elements that meddled with India's internal affairs. Following my analysis of the situation and my opinion, both Canada and India are in part responsible for the current diplomatic row between the two countries. On the one hand, Canada has not properly acted to abate and alleviate India's concern over Sikh separatist movements present in Canada. I am not saying that they should act as India would in suppressing free speech. Quite the contrary, free speech should be maintained, and freedom of association too. However, in the last few years, the Trudeau government has not thoughtfully heard India's concern about Sikh separatism and what it views as extremism. And I think the Canadian federal government should have worked more closely with its Indian counterparts to address and to hear those fears out. Furthermore, in a geopolitical era where you have countries that are rejecting the democratic model and the rule of law, especially geopolitical heavyweights such as China, Russia, several countries in the Middle East, and most notably India, with democratic backsliding, Canada should act and coordinate on the international arena with its strongest allies that hold significant geopolitical weight, such as the US and Europe, to avoid being left out. Since it is neither an economic, political, or military heavyweight on the global stage, Canada simply cannot ignore the influence and apprehension geopolitical heavyweights such as India nowadays have. While still respecting and promoting the Canadian Constitution and its Charter of Rights and Freedoms, Canada should also hear out the concerns of more powerful global actors to mitigate any reprisals. Yet Canada is not the only to blame in this situation. India, with its previously mentioned democratic backsliding, has had very little tolerance to any movement wanting some form of autonomy or separatism from the national government in New Delhi. Since Narendra Modi came to power in 2014, the nationalistic government in New Delhi has shifted towards Hindu nationalism and restrained on the freedom of association, the freedom of expression, and the freedom of the press, which are concerning in a country that claims to follow the rule of law and to be a full democracy. Furthermore, the Indian government targeting nationals abroad and carrying out a campaign of transnational repression is of immense concern, and the country's alleged criminal acts are extremely serious, especially if its diplomats were involved in such crimes. This is it, folks. I hope you appreciated my political podcast today, and I'm looking forward to having you for next week's show. Next week, for the upcoming 2024 American presidential elections, I will have a special guest on my show, so tune in if you wish to know who it will be and what questions will be answered. If you have any questions or would like to submit ideas of topics to cover related to current political events, write to me at tsica20@ubishops.ca. That is tsica20@ubishops.ca.